This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Bills GM Brandon Bean was a guest on the Jerry and Joe show.
Jerry and Joe.
You're listening to
Jerry and Joe on WGRN Buffalo.
We went big time. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Thursday. Still talking Bills draft, reaching back, talking all angles of it, of course, with the players they did get. And Elijah Moore, the new ad today, Bills wide receiver Elijah Moore has been added. So throw him in the mix. We're waiting on the official numbers of the deal, but we kind of estimate guaranteed money will be north of three. And one year for $5 million for Elijah Moore, former second-round pick. Joining us to talk a little bit about the draft is former Bills offensive lineman Jerry Ostrowski. He of the Overreaction Buffalo feed and podcast, and Jerry talks with Joe Marino and I Mondays and Thursdays as part of the Locked On Bills podcast, the Bills Squad Roundtable. Jerry, good morning.
What's going on, Jeremy? How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right. Wanted to get you on to talk about a couple things about this Bills draft, especially because when we talked about it earlier this week, you had a lot to say about Deion Walker, their fourth-round pick. And, you know, I know a lot of attention's been paid to the wide receiver conversation, obviously, but the Bills draft was a lot about defense and positions they needed. And with Walker, that's a move they made a big move up for in the fourth round. So I wanted to ask you what you thought about him in general, the big body guy, and then the injury that he has been playing through and playing with, because I think there's a lot for Bills fans to kind of unpack about him as a player and how he might have been affected through that process.
We know it's when I evaluated his film, and I probably watched five games of his, and, you know, you dive into the 24 film, and when you're watching it, you know, you kind of – it was a bit puzzling at first as far as, you know, what do we see here? Other than the obvious, an absolutely enormous man. I mean, this guy, you know, Bill Parcells used to talk about all the things, you know, the things, you know, I know the things I can see. Tell me the things you can't see. Well, obviously the thing you can see with him is he is a mountain. And, you know, you had flashes on film. You know, he put two or three plays together. Then he kind of shut it down. He'd struggle and, you know, played high. And there's just a lot of question marks. And then after the draft, and you hear the fact that he has the back injury and the rumor, you know, not confirmed, obviously, but, you know, rumor that he's got a pars fracture, and having individuals in my house that have a pars fracture and one of them not being able to play football anymore because of it, when you put that information with what you see on tape, it makes complete sense. And, you know, one thing I want to say about this kid is, and I call him a kid, I mean, I'm old now, but he's, what, I think all 20 years of age, he's incredibly tough. Because if he played through that injury all season long, 12 games in the SEC, this is a tough dude. So that's something to build on. I mean, that's something you don't learn, but something you have in you, and that's admirable. But, yeah, I mean, if you can get, you know, knowing that, then going back and watching his 23 film and seeing all the flashes and you know, what the Bills probably saw and what the Bills are, you know, rolling the dice on, he has a chance to be a nice player. But the main thing is they've got to get this back situation, you know, squared away. And you never know with these things. And obviously the Bills have experience with big, tall, long, you know, players that have back issues. I mean, Spencer Brown had one, and they got him playing at an all-pro level. So, you know, I think the Bills feel good about that. Obviously, their medical feels good about it. And if we can get this guy to play at 23 level, he could do something.
What does a pars fracture do to a player, especially, and you feel like of all the positions to play where it might be the toughest to deal with, it's obviously going to be one of the big guys?
Well, I mean, you obviously have a fracture, you know, in your pars, your pars process there on your vertebra. It's down usually L4, L5 area, and it can cause some instabilities in that joint to where it slides and you know, you start getting nerve involvement. And there's a lot of things you can do. The main thing is you gotta figure out a way to get these guys symptom free, which is the pain. And then once you get the pain away, then you get your flexibility back and things like that, and your range of motion, and you eliminate stiffness and everything. But the biggest challenge for a guy like Walker is he's tall, so he's already, you know, he's a big tall guy, he's long legged, high hipped. And, you know, you're trying to figure out a way to alleviate pressure in that spot. And when you're not real inflexible in the hips, then your body then bends at that L4, L5. And that's why these fractures usually happen. It's a lack of hip flexibility, excuse me. And when you have that, then the lack of hip flexibility, all your movement happens at that joint as opposed to the hips. And that's where the stress comes from. So the Bills are going to have to figure out a way to get this guy more flexible, work on his flexibility. Dropping weight helps. And then also, how do you get lower body strength without loading the spine? And one thing about being in 2025, they've got a ton of things they can do as far as safety bars, box squats, pit shark machine is one thing that they can do, belt squats, all those things. So there's ways around it, but it becomes a challenge in – you've got to do certain things in that weight room to be able to get that lower body strength without putting stress on that L4, L5 area.
So when you hear Brandon Bean talk about how they have a plan in mind for him and they might not take it very hard with him at all in the spring and not until maybe they get to training camp, does that kind of add up then? Like, how risky, I guess, is this pick? It's a fourth round pick, so, like, I mean, that risk is baked in. He might have gone in the second round if this injury didn't exist, or the first round. I guess, how risky is it, and how easily could this kind of, you know, go poorly for Walker and not being able to stay on the field?
You know, you don't know, and I think the biggest thing is going to be him. I mean, he's going to have to really put the work in, and if you listen to the coaches in Kentucky, you listen to his former teammates, they love the guy. He was a team captain. He was a guy that was looked up to on that roster. For all intents and purposes, everything you hear from these guys, he's a dude that does things the right way, and he cares about it, and he understands what he needs to do. So I feel much better after evaluating film, then finding out the issue, and then hearing other things over these last, you know, 4 or 5 days. I feel better where we are with him, because if they can get him playing anywhere close to 23, he has a chance to be a big-time disruptor inside. I think that, you know, he's a player that at Kentucky, they kind of protected him a little bit. They moved him all over the place. They kind of played a modified three-man front. He would line up over the nose. Sometimes he'd line up over a guard, and there were instances he lined up in a wide nine and rushed the quarterback from outside the tackle. So, you know, they moved him around, tried to keep him away from a lot of just pure double teams. That's one thing that he'll have to really learn and play at this level. You know, in our defense, he's probably going to play nose, so he's going to face those constant double teams and things like that. But he does have a knack, even though he's kind of a leaner, not really a guy that – he's got a good first step for a 6'7" dude, but he is more of a leaner and an upper body fighter. You know, he's going to have to learn how to get his pad level down, play those NFL-type offensive linemen. But he does have a knack, even at that size, to split blocks and things. So if they can get him pain-free, he's got some ability.
Jerry O joining us on the Western Hotline. Jerry, how about TJ Sanders? The second-round pick, the Bills make moves in the second round to kind of slide up and down, and Sanders is the pick for a penetrating pass rusher on that defensive line.
I really like TJ Sanders. I think he's untapped, honestly. I think he's got a lot of ability left in him, and that's the one thing that I really like about our draft picks. I think Bean does a good job of finding guys that they can develop. And as you know, the history of the franchise, even though we expect a guy like Harrison to come in and hopefully start day one, they have done, you know, their kind of MO is to bring rookies along a little bit slower. Obviously, you know, TJ Sanders is a guy that's probably going to have to play right away as well. But I still think he's got a lot left to develop. I think he can get a little bit bigger. But you know, he's got all those things you don't teach again. He's got that quickness. He's got an unbelievable first step. He gets upfield. He's got a knack for the football. Again, all intents and purposes, you listen to these guys at South Carolina, everything. He's a good kid. He works hard, and I'm excited about it. You know, I heard Joe talking about it the other day. It's obvious. You know, our defense is built around analytics. It's built around big plays on defense, takeaways, negative plays, those types of things. So, if you're looking for us to come in and go get the 350-pound, you know, 6'3 nose guard that's going to eat up two blocks and just sit there and maybe make one or two tackles a game, if that, but allow his linebackers to make 20, that's not what they're interested in. They want big plays up front. They want to penetrate. They want to get negative plays, turnovers, rush the passer, and TJ Sanders fits that profile to a T.
Jerry Ostrowski on the Western Hotline. How about the rest of the offseason? Like, let's fit it all together, Jerry, with Michael Hoyt, Larry Ogunjobi, Joey Bosa as three big pieces added before the draft. You know, does that kind of get to – when you put it all together, the Bills revamp their front seven, and I think there's a stat out there called havoc rate, which is not about turnovers. It's tackles for loss and sacks and pressures. And to me, it seems like we might not be able to get the same number of turnovers from the Bills defense, but you might get just as much havoc that's wrought by this front seven.
Well, I mean, that's maybe not. I mean, this team has an amazing ability to take away the football, and we still might be there, but you know, obviously, you didn't sign those two guys to, well, obviously, Hoyt they knew. Ogunjobi they did not know about the suspension, but, you know, it just puts an extreme amount of early pressure for these young guys to play. I think that's good. I mean, I think that's good. We all know this team is going to win games. We know this team is going to compete for the divisional championship. We know this team, it's not about getting to the playoffs, is about finishing. And the more time you can get these young guys playing, the better. I think the key for the D-line, honestly, other than TJ Sanders getting up to speed as quick as possible, and then, you know, you got Bosa, who's an anchor as long as he's healthy. I think Bosa's going to have a good season. I honestly do. But I think the key right now for this front, and I'm a front seven O-line guy. That's where I want. I'm getting dudes all over the place there. I mean, I'll figure everything else out. As long as we got good guys up front, we're solid. But I think the key is going to be Dwayne Carter. If Dwayne Carter can figure out the nose guard position, maybe get a little bigger, put a little more weight on, get a little statter, and he can get some reps there while they get more, or you know, Walker rather, excuse me, up to speed. That's going to help this team a lot.
I want to ask you about Carter before I let you go, Jerry. Jerry Ostrowski on the Western Hotline. How did you take in his rookie year? Because I feel like at the beginning of it, we saw a lot of flashes and people were really into his immediate impact. And then is it a typical rookie kind of campaign thing? Maybe guys figure you out. You kind of have to go back to the drawing board because inactive for the AFC Championship game. Like he's a player of the Bills, I'm sure, still like quite a bit. But it was a little bit of a rocky road for a rookie season.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we started together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Yeah, obviously, you know, I talk about that all the time. People don't put enough emphasis on the rookie wall. You know, in college football, you're playing 12 games, maybe a bowl game, or maybe going into the playoffs, but you know, 12 games in the league, you still got five left, not counting playoffs. You almost have another full season left when you get to that point in college football when you're getting ready to shut it down and go home for Christmas. So, yeah, I mean, Carter had he was okay. He had showed flashes. He got a little bit lost as the year went on. I think that sometimes the college guys don't understand just how much film and how much film prep you got to put in and how much you have to put an emphasis on taking care of your body because the season's so long, unless you're just an absolute freak, and even those guys as well, you've got to really study film and you got to reinvent yourself quite a bit. I mean, you've got to learn how the guy across from you is going to play on Sunday. You've got to, you know, learn different moves, and you can't do the same counter every time. These pros watch so much film and are so prepared that a lot of times they're waiting for things before you even do them. So, I mean, that's kind of where the maturation process comes in, right, guys? I mean, you've got to really watch that film, and you've got to really learn that, okay, this might have been my counter off of this, but now I've got to show this and go back the other way, or I've got to develop a club, I've got to develop a spin. And so, yeah, I mean, there's that, and then there's also – You're going from college ball to where some of that stuff that you did works against guys that aren't going to play on Sunday, but some of those things you do are not necessarily going to work against pros. So it just takes a little bit of time to really develop your repertoire.
Jerry Ostrowski on the Western Hotline. Jerry, where Bills Mafia maybe that you know wants to find you and hear from you more often, where are all the places they can hear you talking Bills every day?
Well, obviously, we're on myself, John Fina, and Joe Miller. We started Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network, and we're on YouTube and also all the major podcasting platforms. You can check us out there. We have a show right now in the off season on Sunday nights, and then we do a show sometimes on Tuesday night. My show, The Big O Show, is on Wednesday night, and then we do a daily Bills update every day. And then also, you can catch me on Bill Squad on the Locked On Network Mondays and Thursdays at noon Eastern, 11 Central, where me and some guy named Jeremy, Jeremy White, and Joe Burrito, we do that show. And that's been a blast. I've had a really good time with it. Excited to put another one in the can today. So those are the places. I'm at Ostrowski_BigO on Twitter. And I love to converse with Bill's Mafia there, so come reach out there. And I've got a bunch of people that will DM me and ask me questions, and I'll answer them the best I can.
Very good. Jerry, thanks for the time. We'll talk later today.
All right, guys. We'll see you.
Jerry Ostrowski on the Western Hotline. You can, again, as he mentioned, follow him on Twitter. Find him right there. It's Ostrowski_BigO.
We talked a lot about the defensive line there.
Yeah.
Just looking at their depth chart on the defensive line, there are so many names. I'm thinking they can't possibly all make the team. So I'm looking at that, and I look back at last year, like, how many made the team on the defensive line? Final 53-man roster each of the last 2 years.
How many were there?
10.
And how many did they have to work with?
Rousseau, Daquan Jones, Ed Oliver, Joey Bosa, Michael Hoyt, Ogunjobi, Sanders, Epinesa, Landon Jackson, Deion Walker, Dwayne Carter, Javon Solomon. There's 12. But I had a realization right at the end of that, which is two of those guys are getting suspended.
Ogunjobi and
Hoyt.
And Hoyt.
So it might actually be easy. For six weeks. For training camp and figuring out, like, and we'll do that, you know, in July and in August, like, who's going to make the team.
Sure.
But, right, midway through the year.
Maybe by the trade deadline, someone gets sent out and someone else comes.
Like, the Bills sell a defensive lineman? Or
yeah.
Has there ever been you have a hockey trade in the NHL? A football trade?
A defensive lineman.
You need a defensive lineman.
For a safety.
We've got two guys coming back from suspension. Right, we'll trade, you know. Javon Solomon's got three. He's got 2.5 sacks through five games, and we've got Michael Hoyt coming back.
I had to say,
although Solomon's a draft pick, they might not want to move on from him.
If I'd said receiver, people would be yelling at me, so I had said safety. You know, trade it for a safety.
Epinesa would be the guy to watch, though.
Man, maybe 803-0550-1888-550-2550. Jerry O on the Bills. That Deion Walker stuff is interesting. You know, that happens a lot where a guy has a great year. This is Luther Burden to a point. And lots of quarterbacks have this happen. And linemen, he had a good this year, but not a good this year. And his stock drops.
Yeah.
You know, you hope he can come back from that injury and maybe be a big difference maker for the Bills, Deion Walker.
Wasn't Matt Barkley that? Didn't Matt Barkley, was something thought of like a early first-round quarterback, and then he went back and had a bad year, and then he fell?
That might be right. It happens.
He did not become... Well, he didn't become what the original expectation was.
No.
I mean, he had a career. But yeah, that definitely happens. He's a really interesting player. I feel like we've talked more about him than the first round pick.
Walker?
Yeah. Because he's kind of unique. He's 6'7", 330, and I got some of the Cover One guys, you know, putting some film out there even the last couple minutes. There's a clip of Walker, who again is a monster. And he's standing up on the edge.
Yeah.
Like, he's at the edge, and he's standing up like Von Miller would. And he, like, steps left, steps right, around like a speed move around the tackle and makes a stop on a run play in the backfield. So, but that's been, we've said that throughout the week. He's not, and had guests on, that he's not, like, your prototypical just fill the guards up in the centers from getting to linebackers.
Just got my email, Todd McShay's 2026 way too early draft.
Does he also do the thing with the draft order? Does he predict the draft order? Or does he just do what the teams did this year or had this year?
Well, yes, the order is predicted, and it is a new order. Yes.
So, is it a different team at number one than we had yesterday?
Yesterday, the first mock draft we saw was the Saints. Yes, yeah. This is not the Saints. This is the Jets.
That's funny.
The Jets picking number one.
Yeah, they could be last.
And go quarterback Garrett Nussmeier, LSU.
Okay.
He has a safety going two.
Wow.
Yep.
Who's that?
That is safety Caleb Downs from Ohio State.
I mean, he better be a generational safety if he's going second overall.
Says he's the top prospect in the class.
And he's a safety.
He has him go number two. Yep.
Swap first-round picks right now with Pittsburgh.
Do you want to know anything else about this draft, or just leave it there? Raiders go. He has quarterbacks going. Todd McShay, the early, you know, early mock draft.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks go 1, 4, 5, 7.
Woo.
And is that it? That might be it. Yeah.
So the other two questions, of course, I would like to know are where he has the Bills picked, because that's him predicting where they're going to end this year, and then also what the Bills select.
He has the Bills picking 30th.
Sweet.
30th. What was the other question?
Well, before I get to the next question, who are picking 31st and 32nd?
Baltimore and Philadelphia.
It'd be such a lame Super Bowl. It'd be great football. 30th is going to be...
You're supposed to ask me the question.
Yeah, what position? What position?
It's illegal for you to ask me that.
Okay, sorry.
You're not allowed to ask me that. I'm not allowed to say. I don't want people to get mad at me. I don't want to be the target.
Todd McShay should get yelled at.
Yeah, call him up. Todd McShay's way too early mock draft for the 2026 Buffalo Bills. 30th pick overall. He has them taking DeAndre Moore Jr.
Okay. Next year, I mean, they will
Do you want to know what he does?
Huh. What?
He's a wide receiver.
Yeah.
6 foot, 195 pound difference maker, Texas. Every year we're just going to do Texas receivers.
I mean, the other need that you can see on the horizon for them is
linebacker.
Linebacker and
center.
They didn't do anything with Connor McGovern this summer.
Center, right.
So a center.
Unless Cedric Van Pran Granger, who they drafted last year, like he could be the future plan there. Could
maybe.
He?
I mean, I remember Joe Marino loved him, right? There were a couple of people
who
loved him.
Liked
Georgia.
Liked him quite a bit.
But we didn't see him play a single snap, I don't think. Right, maybe, but fifth round guy after 2 years, you're going to trust that? But maybe. So, and listen, being in, even in this Tyler Dunn article today, like, there's no questioning it. It's not even controversial. It's not even really worth debating. The number one position they value right now on the offense behind quarterback is the offensive line,
mm-hmm.
which I think is perfectly defendable.
Yep.
I might personally go wide receiver slightly above an offensive line.
At least above.
And then
like,
for me,
above,
I would
above guard.
Yeah, okay, right, sure, right. If I'm making it the whole position group. Like, for me, it's always quarterback, and then it's wide receiver and tackle. And then massive drop, and then you're getting to your tight ends and your running backs and all that. So center's important.
Yep. One quick thing about, again, like if you really dip far into the weeds on the salary cap and roster management, the Ravens exercised their fifth-year option on safety Kyle Hamilton. That happened yesterday. And Field Yates picked up on this and pointed out that fifth-year options, it's one of the spots where there's an umbrella.
Yeah.
Because they did not exercise the fifth-year option on Tyler Linderbaum, who is their starting center.
Right.
And the reason is we have positions that are fractured within the position. This kind of gets back to, I'll make this point quickly. Why did Khalil Shakir not get huge wide receiver one money? Because he plays slot. Like slot and outside are different jobs. And if you want to franchise tag a receiver, you might like him a lot, but you're franchise tagging him at the Jamar Chase number, mm-hmm. who does everything on the outside. And Field Yates pointed out, offensive line is no different. Linderbaum is one of the best centers in the league. Mm-hmm. But a fifth-year option on him is $23 million. That's $5 million more than the highest-paid center.
Wow.
Just as the fifth-year option. Because the fifth-year option is on offensive line.
Oh, so this, the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is a spot. If you want to really dig into the money ball part of the draft, when you draft a tackle, you are potentially saving a lot of money. The fifth-year option does this and that. Then guard is a little bit different, and then center's a little bit different, yeah. because lumping positions together is a little bit of a disservice to the players at the one position. It's like linebacker and edge. It's why Terrell Bernard, they'll never franchise tag Terrell Bernard. He's a linebacker. He's not a linebacker like Micah Parsons
right.
is a linebacker. So when we were going through the Bills and trying to figure out who they would sign, I said to you and predicted, Shakir and Bernard will be easy because there's no chance they franchise tag those guys. They'll want to get them done. Those guys don't really fit in the franchise formula. And those two deals came down the pike pretty quickly. So when mm-hmm. you have a position that two guys with the same title are just worlds apart,
mm-hmm.
you get these what should be splits at the position that you don't. Hopefully that's not too far in the weeds for everybody. But that's why they didn't do the fifth-year option on Tyler Linderbaum. My guess is they will probably want to re-sign him, but just not pay him $5 million more than the highest-paid center right away.
It really is dumb that they do all that way. Linebackers getting grouped together.
With edge.
With edge. And centers getting lumped in with the rest of it.
With tackles.
Would it really be that hard to make it more specific than it is yeah. right now?
That's what Field Yates is suggesting. Like the next CBA, they should really start splitting positions properly.
Would the players not want that? Like maybe the players wouldn't. Maybe, you know, although you're representing everybody.
It's a good point. But this is not far
not
off.
Just one position.
This is not far off from Jimmy Graham trying to get listed as a receiver.
Right.
You play this. I'm standing where receivers stand all the time.
Right.
Why don't I get paid like them? Well, you're a tight end.
Right.
So anyway, 803-0550, our phone number. 30 minutes left in the show. We'll continue to get more calls here. If you want to ring us up about Elijah Moore, anything on the Bills, it's Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.